Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a Celtics stunner in the fourth quarter. What happened that changed everything in game one of the NBA Finals? Plus, a tale of two big stars. Steph was cooking early. Tatum wasn't at all, and it didn't matter. Is it a recipe for disaster for the Warriors? And we're talking football and Action Jackson's absence from Ravens camp once again. Is there a problem between Baltimore and their superstar quarterback? Good morning, everybody. Hannah Storm in for Greeny. We have Tim Legler in the house. Vince Carter is joining us. Diana Rossini and RC along later. We're also picking our jaws up off the floor. What an insane fourth quarter last night. Let's get right to it, Legs.
Do it.
Game of the night. The Warriors 9-0 at home in the playoffs. Steph and company playing in front of the home crowd. Jason Tatum was terrible shooting last night. Steph was not historically hot early on, hitting three after three. Legs.
Yeah, you can't let him walk into one like that to start the game. And then here you get the switch. Grant Williams not up. And they let Steph Curry get into his rhythm early in the game. Here, once again, miscommunication on a down screen. And he was cooking to get that crowd going.
Six threes in the first quarter, a finals record. And now on to the third. They had 38 points in the third quarter. Curry with the floater.
Hit them any which way. He had them from deep early, and then he got the mid-range and the drives going in the second half.
Andre Iguodala getting into the act off the assist from Jordan Poole. He drops a three. Things aren't looking good for the Celtics. The Warriors are up by 12 at the end of three legs, and then what the heck happened?
Yeah, best third quarter team in the league. They established control. You think it's going to be status quo. And then this happens. One of the two stars had to get hot eventually. It was Jaylen Brown at the start of the quarter that really got their offense going.
Brown has 10 points, 5 assists in the fourth quarter alone. And how about that midseason pickup, Derek White?
What an amazing postseason he has had for the Boston Celtics. Incredible, really, after the birth of his first child. Derek White hasn't missed a shot since, I don't think. And then, of course, the vet, Al Horford, what a postseason run he has had as well. Big threes down the stretch.
Yeah, in his first finals game, Horford leads the Celtics in scoring. Now they're on a 9-0 run. Look at Steve Kerr.
I feel you, Steve. I don't know either.
Oh, man, they hit 9 threes in the fourth. That's a 14-0 run right there.
Great ball movement, sharing it. Jason Tatum, give him credit, man. He did not have his night shooting the basketball, but his playmaking was really a huge difference maker. Take advantage of the way the Warriors are playing him.
Yeah, he had 13 assists, a career high, and Horford's first ever finals game. Triumphant, 26 points, 6 rebounds. Curry finished with 34 and 5 boards. Here's Ime Udoka after the Celtics win.
Yeah, that's kind of who we've been all year. Tough grinders, you know, a resilient group that we can always know we can rely on our defense to kind of buckle down when needed. Impressive against a really elite scoring team.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them.
My gut reaction, just what I just witnessed, was they just came in, played a hell of a fourth quarter, and you got to give them credit. And it's pretty much as simple as that.
The Celtics turned up the heat over those final 12 minutes. They outscored Golden State 40-16. That 24-point margin is the largest in any quarter of any NBA Finals game in history. And those 9 threes that I referenced, that was tied for the most in any quarter in NBA history. Back with Legs, back with Vince Carter. First team ever to win by double digits after trailing by double digits entering the fourth. What the heck happened? happen.
Yeah, listen, I'm sitting there saying, and to quote Anchorman, Will Ferrell Anchorman, that really escalated quickly out there. I mean, that's really what I felt like, Vince, watching that. I'm sitting there saying, okay, third quarter, Warriors did what they normally do. They established control. And look, Steph Curry sits down at the start of the fourth. And now you think this is where Golden State's defense sort of keeps the lead, because their defense is elite too, but that's not what happens at all. Boston Celtics role players stepped up, knocked down every shot. Look, they were overloading to Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and they took advantage of it. They moved the basketball well, but a lot of these looks are open, uncontested three-point shots, and give those guys credit because they towed them up and they knocked them down. I thought Jaylen Brown, Vince, was the key to the entire thing because he got his game rolling in the start of the fourth quarter, individually, really, just doing everything off the bounce, got to his mid-range, got to the rim. He carried them and kept their head above water, and then the three-point shooting took over the game. But by the way, simultaneously, they shut the Warriors down completely during that stretch, and you get a 40-16 fourth quarter. I don't think anybody could believe really how stark that contrast was in the fourth based on what we had just seen in the previous quarter.
I mean, Vince, how stunning was it from your perspective?
It was stunning, and you asked what the heck happened. You know, you look at that highlight, and what was the common denominator? They played a small lineup. They put Al Horford at the five. And putting Al Horford at the five, yes, he's able to post up. He can work in the post. But it opened the floor up a little bit, and now you see the drive, the drift to a swing, wide open three. Kevon Looney is still in the paint, trying to find somewhere to go. There's another swing. Kevon Looney in the paint, in the help. Open threes. And now, you know, here's again, double team. Marcus Smart swing, gets into the paint. Now Al Horford's able to work into the paint. So those are the things right there that it was the difference for me in the fourth quarter, because the floor was now wide open. And Al Horford's ability to shoot the three, but yet Golden State's bigs, they had to help, you know, because Jaylen Brown was in attack mode. Help usually come from their bigs, swing, swing, open threes. And that was the difference maker as opposed to what we saw in the first three quarters.
Yeah, and the Warriors had the rebounding edge early until down the stretch. Draymond Green, when they went to that smaller lineup, he only has one rebound in the fourth. Would you like them to stay with that bigger lineup looking ahead to game two?
I thought one of their biggest weapons in the first half was the offensive rebounding with Kevon Looney. I mean, they were punishing the Celtics. Mm-hmm. I call those chaos points against Golden State. They kill you when you give up a second shot, because typically defensively, when that ball comes off the glass and now you get an offensive rebound, you're nowhere near the guy that you were guarding at the start of the possession, and you're scrambling out. Right. And that's when Golden State punishes you. And that actually was a concern for me, to think Golden State was down two and a big majority of their offense was coming off the offensive glass. I thought that might be a bad sign. But then the third quarter happened, and I thought, okay, no, they're going to be fine in this game. But I do like Kevon Looney out there with Draymond. I think he played so well on the offensive glass in the Dallas series. Now, this is a guy that's got to come in and give you those second-chance points. He also is a guy that's a pick-and-roll threat as well. They sort of lost that because Draymond was at the top of the key the entire fourth quarter.
You agree, Vince?
Yeah, I like the bigger lineup when you have Robert Williams in as well. And you see the adjustment that they made was now going smaller, putting Kevon Looney in situations where are you going to help or are you going to stay home on a shooter of Al Horford who was hot? Now, if Al Horford's not hitting those shots, you know, Kevon Looney is more essential to your team. And I think he's more effective in having him on the floor at the time when they needed to really combat that three-point line and get a hand out and make them swing the ball another time. That was kind of the difference.
Listen, we know we're going to see adjustments coming up in game two, but let's take a step back and talk about Steph Curry, who had that historic 6 three-pointers in the first quarter. He scores 21 points, highest scoring finals quarter since Michael Jordan back in 1993. But then Curry cooled off considerably after that, just 5 of 10 from the field against Marcus Smart, just 2 of 6 after the first quarter. So he has, after that, more shots than points. 16 shots, 13 points. What happened there, Tim?
Well, a couple things. I think, first of all, you saw the looks he got at the beginning of the game. I mean, those were breakdowns on the part of the Boston Celtics. Clearly, they targeted him coming into the game, and they just let him get loose early. They made that adjustment from that point on. And if you go look at the fourth quarter offensively, and particularly for Golden State, everything they did was getting pushed out beyond the three-point line. And they got away a little bit from their style. They didn't make Boston pay for extending that far on shooters? Typically, when you're going to get two guys jump out on Clay, two guys jump out on Steph, somebody's going to get hit in the middle of the floor on a slip, and now you're going to play three-on-two basketball, and it's going to be a lob, it's going to be a kick out to a corner three. And I just felt like Boston got so physical with them and pushed them so far out, it looked like, really, their legs were taken from them. I thought Steph got extremely tired toward the end of that game while Boston was making that run. He looked a little bit worn down. And look, Marcus Smart and physical defense will do that to you. So they got away from who they are in the fourth quarter. But you have to credit the Boston Celtics for why that happened. They're the best defensive team in the NBA.
Wait, is this an age situation? Is this because Golden State was rested coming in? To this, Vince, they had a week off. Meanwhile, they're playing a team that went in back-to-back seven games.
I don't know. I don't know about age. I mean, I think these guys are still capable. I mean, sitting off 1 week is tough to bounce back and just get back into this type of atmosphere. But one of the things I think happened second quarter, Steph gets his third foul and he has to sit. And then the adjustment, I think, Boston made offensively is putting Steph back in the pick and roll and making him guard multiple efforts. He wasn't going to switch on a lot of the pick and rolls, so he would show and have to get back. Well, if you notice on a lot of the shows, it wasn't a slip, but they threw to the man that Steph was guarding, and he had to guard the action and his guy. And I think that kind of got into his legs, which we did not see in the first half and really most of early in the third, but late in the third, mostly in the fourth, they started making him guard multiple actions to wear him down. And that kind of, I think that got into his legs in the fourth quarter with the Marcus Smart tough defense.
So here's the thing, the Celtics, they got help from players other than the Jays, right?
Oh, yeah.
Steph did not. All right, so his supporting cast was outscored in relation to Jason Tatum's by 34 points last night. Who has to step up for the Warriors?
I mean, Jordan Poole really disappeared last night. And this is a guy that's made a name for himself. He's had a breakout year. I think, for me, he was the most improved player in the NBA this year. But he came into this game. Biz, I didn't think he looked comfortable at any point. He just did not look like he was a confident, attacking, aggressive player. Maybe part of that was because, look, Steph got rolling so hot so early. You know, maybe it took him longer to get involved because it was all about Steph early. But at some point, Jordan Poole has to put a stamp on that game. Look, Clay was quiet too, but clearly the way they're defending Clay is a little bit different. Jordan Poole can do more off the dribble, off ball screen, off isolation, and you didn't see any of that, nothing in the open floor. So I think he's the guy that's going to look in the mirror, be disappointed with the way that he played. And if I'm looking for a bounce back player in game two, it's got to be Jordan Poole, because if he can't do that, Golden State's in serious trouble. They have to have Clay and Jordan Poole play well together, but especially Poole because of what he can do with the dribble.
Vince, who needs to step up for the Warriors?
I agree with what Legs is saying, and because when Steph goes down in the second quarter with that third foul, Poole comes in, and the first thing I notice is Marcus Smart gets up under him. He swipes the ball away. The next time he gets a steal, and you can just tell him, he's like, oh, man, this is real. This is like live action. Like, I'm not on autopilot anymore. This is another level, and I think he was just a little shook earlier than trying to get himself acclimated. And then I thought Andrew Wiggins played great. He had 20 points. I thought he was aggressive getting to the basket. I mean, he has an unbelievable task guarding Jason Tatum. But I said he needs to be able to do both, and I thought he did both. And we need Klay Thompson to come out and have another great shooting night to open the floor up as well.
Listen, here's the reality. Steph, he was cooking early, and the Warriors fell apart late. So coming up, we're going to ask, is it already time to panic for Golden State? Jay Will joins the discussion coming up on Get Up. Andy's absent again. Is there an issue between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Is Baltimore hesitant to give him everything he wants? Diana Russini, Ryan Clark on the way.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Verizon 5G, from the network more people rely on. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, as we have Ryan Clark and Vince Carter weigh in on this, Jason Tatum's fit last night. All right. Ooh, look at Vince. What do you think, Vince?
Hey, that's...
go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead.
Speechless.
Man, that's that. Vince. Okay, Vince, do you remember when Denise was supposed to make that sweater for Theo? And it was a Gordon Gottrell. That looked like a Gordon Gottrell jacket. Yeah, I love it. Basketball players, listen, Hannah, Vince, basketball players can do things football players can't because it's more surface area. When you're 6'8", you can wear that. I'm 5'11". I cannot wear that. I would look like a confused forest animal. But if Jason Tatum could do it, he got the fire edge up, the Gordon Gottrell suit. Nobody does things like that other than hoopers, man. So I'm going to rock with it, Hannah. I'm a stylish guy. I like style. I'll go with it.
You can go with all the fabrics.
I can't pull it off.
Like literally all of them. Everything. Pinstripe,
all
flowers, pink, black. What do you think, VC?
He said, I want all of these together. Put all of these together.
All of it. All right. We're just going to leave that there and hope that he shoots better in game two. All right, RC, let's go over some quarterback questions headed into camp this month, starting in San Francisco. Can Trey Lance do what Jimmy G did and actually take the Niners to the NFC Championship game?
You know what's crazy, Hannah? We would think, because we don't necessarily think highly of Jimmy G or that he's an elite-level quarterback, that a guy drafted third overall in Trey Lance could do the exact same thing. But from what we've seen last year, that is still up for debate, and I believe that's what the San Francisco 49ers are wrestling with right now.
Also, will he have Debo there? Because that'll make a big difference. Should Baker Mayfield, RC, show up to camp for the Browns?
Listen, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I show up because I still want my money. I still want to get paid. And we never know what's going to go on with Deshaun Watson. What if he is suspended and Baker Mayfield becomes the best option? It seems untenable that he would still be in that locker room, but we never know what's going to happen. And this is a league that is about winning. Deshaun Watson situation, nobody wants Baker right now. I'd pop up and get my dough.
Yeah, they might need him. All right, should Lamar show up to camp without a contract?
No, he absolutely should not. But the other thing is, Lamar got to go get a contract. This is such a crazy situation, Hannah. We don't necessarily know if Lamar wants a contract, if he's not coming to OTAs because he wants one now. It is so much going on. But if I'm Lamar, I don't step on the field this year until I'm paid like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson.
All right, that's top dollar. And we don't really know what is going on. So Diana Rossini is here this morning to enlighten us, because we've heard very, very little about this situation from either side out of Baltimore. Diana, do we have any idea of the level of communication between Lamar, who's representing himself, and the team?
Yeah, I'm going to preface this with, as somebody who likes to get inside information, this has been one of the biggest mysteries in the NFL, because both sides are really keeping this close to the vest here, just not putting out information, even making some calls yesterday with some people in the organization. Lots of people on the staff don't even know what's going on, but there has been one clear message that I've been told, and this has really been the message a lot of us reporters have been hearing, which is the Ravens are waiting for Lamar to want to engage. They're waiting for him to want to participate. The Ravens owner, over at the owners meeting a few months ago, even said, right now Lamar is just focused and worried about one thing, and that's winning a Super Bowl. He's obsessed with it. So we're just at a point right now where we're on Lamar's time. And when he's ready, I think we're going to know more about what he's going to do when it comes to his contract.
All right, so their mandatory minicamp begins on June 14th. RC, you just said that he should not show up for camp. How long do you think he should sit out? And what do you make of the situation, what we just heard from Diana, that there might really not be a lot of communication going on between both sides at this point?
I'm so confused, Hannah. I mean, right. I think, you know, so many people do play this game to win championships, but also when we see what the quarterback market is yielding, some of the top-notch and elite-level quarterbacks, you also have opportunities to set your family up for generations to come, and we've seen that, like I said, with the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, even down to Dak Prescott, hell, even Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. And so you would think that Lamar, knowing what he's worked for, knowing what he's accomplished, would be looking to get that huge payday, but it seems like he isn't. And so what confuses me about that, Hannah, is then why would he stay home? If the money isn't the biggest thing, if the Super Bowl is the largest thing, then going to mandatory minicamp would be something that Lamar Jackson would do. Now, for me, I don't get on the grass. I don't risk an ankle. I don't risk a knee. I don't risk hurting a shoulder playing for the Baltimore Ravens or practicing for the Baltimore Ravens without that money. But if it's not your top priority, if it's not what you're working for, then I'm extremely confused as to why Lamar Jackson isn't there. But I believe it's like Diana says, we don't have enough information. The Baltimore Ravens aren't sharing. The Lamar Jackson side isn't sharing. And Lamar Jackson not showing up to the table is something I would love to ask him about because he's earned that seat.
And Diana, just put into perspective how unusual this is since he's representing himself.
Well, here's the thing. When you have an agent as a player, basically if you have an agent in any field, they're used as a buffer between you and the organization, right? Sometimes you have to have really difficult conversations and the truth doesn't really get messaged, or at least the truth doesn't come across if there isn't a buffer, somebody in between the player and the team. And that's really the best value of having an agent, right? Sometimes it's just to screen the things that perhaps the player doesn't need to know and doesn't want to know. And in this situation, you know, we've seen other players do this and represent themselves, but this could be complicated because remember, Hannah, there is a thought that perhaps the Ravens aren't really willing to go all the way up in terms of that salary per year, that top quarterback money with concerns of durability. So that could be a really difficult conversation, just knowing what Lamar Jackson brings to this team and this offense. So I'm not sure if it's an advantage or a disadvantage for Lamar, but for right now, he's in a good position when it comes to the money he is expected to get, because he should get paid.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the longer he waits, the better it is for him, because those quarterback numbers just go up and up. We'll be back with the two of you guys in just a bit. Thanks, RC. Thanks, Diana. Meanwhile, coming up, much more on the Warriors' epic fourth quarter collapse last night in game one. What happened? How do they bounce back on Sunday? And oh, by the way, Jason Tatum, he couldn't shoot last night and it didn't even matter. Is this a recipe for disaster for Golden State? Jay Will joining that discussion next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Get Up, Game of the Night. Jay Will is in the house. All right, so let's break this one down. This shocker. Warriors are 9-0 at home. Jason Tatum can't hit the side of a barn last night, and they still win. Steph had it all going on early.
Yeah, initially in the game, there's a series of miscommunications. You're seeing one right there on what they're doing, interchanging parts as it relates to switching. And Steph got going and set a record for first quarter threes.
But then came the fourth quarter with the Celtics trailing by 10, and Jaylen Brown was the guy who got them going.
Look, this is what you need in a team sport. A lot of people will talk about Jason Tatum, but Jaylen Brown either scored or assisted on 20 of their teams. team's first 23 points in the first quarter, in the fourth quarter.
Derek White, midseason pickup, having a great playoffs, really since the birth of his child. And how about Al Horford in his first NBA Finals?
I mean, it was only a year ago where Al Horford was playing in OKC, was not playing, and people were wondering if he was still going to play in the league. And looking at him having a huge, huge presence in the NBA Finals.
9 for 12 at three-pointers were the Celtics down the stretch. And there goes Horford, leading everyone, 26 points, 6 rebounds. Here are the Splash Brothers after the loss.
It's about winning 4 games by any means necessary. And for 42 minutes, we did enough to win the game tonight. That's not how the basketball works. So I think everything starts to become on the table when you look at trying to get ourselves back in the series on Sunday and taking it from there.
It was a tough loss, especially the way we did lose, you know, squandering a 15-point lead. Very, very rare for us. So it's not the end of the world, and we'll regroup tomorrow. We'll bring a much better effort on Sunday.
And with last night's loss, the Warriors fall to 21-3 in game ones in the postseason under Steve Kerr. They had one game, they lost game one in the 2019 NBA Finals against Toronto, and then they rallied from a 3-1 deficit in the 2016 Conference Finals to beat the Thunder in 7 games after they dropped that game one at home. So, Jay Will, good to have you here.
Good to be
so
here.
So while we have you, let's get right to it. This absolute stunner of a fourth quarter. What did you see? How did the Celtics pull that out last night?
This is such a casual thing to say, but I laugh at it because for so many years, people were really trying to break up this duo of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, right?
Sure. Even midseason this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're talking about Jason Tatum having 13 assists, mm-hmm. but we never talk about the impact that he has in the game unless Jaylen Brown doesn't go bonkers at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And a lot of times, Legs, it feels like people overlook how important Jaylen Brown is to this team. And just the contrast between how Klay Thompson moves and how prolific of a scorer he is to Jaylen Brown being, it seems like, a Gen Z version of a millennial version of Klay Thompson shows you the reason why the Boston Celtics won that game. He is the main point. Granted, Derek White, Al Horford made some critical shots, but Jaylen Brown's explosion in the fourth really helped them get there.
Yeah, that's what Horford said afterwards. Yeah. He said it was all Brown, and we all just fed off of that coming out in the fourth.
The three-point barrage is what everyone's going to be talking about this morning. Man, did you see the way the Celtics shot the ball in the fourth quarter? Jaylen Brown is saved that game in the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. And one of those two guys you knew eventually was going to find their rhythm. He got going off the bounce, got to his spots, got to the rim, got to his mid-range, some pull-up threes. For me, that is what gave that team so much confidence to finish the game the way they did. But if he doesn't have that little mini individual run at the start of the fourth quarter, and they're still down 10-12 with 6 minutes to go, and Steph Curry comes back in the game, I think Golden State wins the game. So Jaylen Brown, to me, saved the night for them despite all the 3 points you made.
Right. I mean, Vince, especially with Tatum struggling the way that he was.
I thought Jaylen Brown understood the moment. He understood Tatum's not rolling. It's time for me to take a step forward. It's time to be a little more aggressive and be the go-to guy to make this happen. And I think he understands when Tatum going, he takes a back seat, if you would, as far as his aggressive. He still is aggressive, but I think they put the ball in his hand and let him go. And he was hitting shots. He was aggressive. He was getting into the paint, making plays for others. He did it all. And like Leg said, he doesn't have this early run in the fourth. We're talking about a different story.
And how about the Celtics just mentally 8-2 on the road now? They win 3 in Miami. They go, they take game one, they take home court here. All right, so we are going to play a little game of fact or fiction. Jay Will, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Klay Thompson, all right, we just talked about him. He had 15 points in game one. Will he have a bigger impact in game two? I'm going to say he does have a bigger impact in game two. Is that fact or fiction?
I'll take fact on that. You know, look, a lot of people are going to kind of create these narratives today about, I'm really worried about the Golden State Warriors. This is a one-game series at a time. And I'm not going to tell you that Klay Thompson doesn't have the same burst that he's had multiple years ago. And I think you see that when he's guarded against the long athletic wings of Boston. But if there's a guy who's a high basketball IQ who can get going offensively, I can believe in Klay Thompson when it's all said and done.
All right, Vince, Steph Curry, we talked about it in the run-up to the series. He will win Finals MVP, fact or fiction.
Wow. I think this is the easy one for me, Hannah. If the Golden State Warriors are able to pull this off and win it, Steph Curry will be the Finals MVP because of his impact.
Okay, that's an if, though. I don't know about that, Vince. All right, legs. The Celtics can win the series with the version of Jason Tatum that we saw last night. 12 points, 13 dimes. Fact or fiction?
I think that's fiction. Look, I understand his playmaking was a big part of it. I think Golden State overloaded to him a little bit too much, like overhelped. And it allowed some naked looks at the three-point line. At some point here, Jason Tatum's going to have to put his stamp on this series as a scorer. So, no, I don't think you can see similar stat lines throughout and expect the Boston Celtics to win this series.
All right, so here is the stat line. Tatum went 13-17 from the field on Thursday, and the fourth lowest field goal percentage by a player in his NBA Finals debut in the shot clock era, the lowest mark, by the way, belongs to Reggie Miller. He went 1-for-16 in game one of the 2000 finals. Ooh. Here's Tatum on his performance.
We're in the championship. We're in the finals. All I was worried about was trying to get a win. And we did. And that's all that matters at this point. So, I don't expect to shoot that bad again. But if it means we keep winning, I'll take it.
He shoots 18%, but he has a career high 13 assists. So how do we view his game one performance, Jay Will?
They won. Ime Udoka spoke about it at the end of the game, and I think it's something really important for basketball fans to understand. There are a lot of times I feel like earlier in Jason Tatum's career, the only way he would impact the game would be by him scoring the ball. And you learn as you become older in this game that you can impact the game in a variety of ways, your effort on the defensive end and your ability to get the ball to people to make the right decisions. And sometimes it feels like even with guys like LeBron James, like he would get criticized for making the right plays. But that impact, because the position of success, it puts your teammates in for them to capitalize on, is something that is extremely understated in sports, in my opinion. And that's what Jason Tatum was able to do last night.
Completely agree. Listen, this is why I've been saying all year he's put that seat at the big table now with the big boys in terms of the elite players in this league. The two main reasons are he's improved his handle to the extent that he can get out of situations. He can create the extra space that he needs. He's not a straight line dribble drive guy anymore or a mid-range going in one direction. He can go back and forth with the ball. And then the second thing is his vision, his anticipation of where double teams are coming from. He loves to spin. You could see last night he anticipated coming out of spins someone was going to be running. He was picking it up, not a count too late, at exactly the right time to get it to the weak side of the floor to let them pick him apart. Those are the two biggest areas of improvement, and that is why this guy now is an all-league player. He's an MVP candidate, I think, going forward every single year. You saw it on display last night.
And Vince, how hard is it to focus in on the things that Jay Will and Tim were just talking about when you're not hitting? How hard is it to put that frustration in the back of your mind?
It's extremely difficult because you're on the biggest stage in the moment that you've been dreaming about all your career, and you finally get there, and you always dream, hey, I put up big numbers and I'm the superstar. But, everyone looks at the stat sheet and the first thing they go to, Jason Tatum, how many points did he have? Oh, he didn't play well because he was 3-for-17. But the one thing about Jason Tatum is there's the cut to a jump shot. It wasn't there, but he was able to adjust and make plays for everyone else. Like I think Jay Will and Legg said, his growth, understanding the moment. And if you're a star player like Jason Tatum is, you understand, okay, my shot's not working. How else can I impact the game for us to win? And he did that.
He also had his teammates stepping up, particularly as we showed in the fourth. Everybody from White to Horford to Brown and then some. On the other side, though, Steph Curry didn't have a lot of help. We talked about this earlier. Who do you think should be stepping up for the Warriors?
I mean, it's look, first off, Kevon Looney's been playing well the entire playoff series, right? Him and Draymond Green can't combine for 8 points. And the biggest key for me is, look, Klay Thompson's different. Like, Klay Thompson's not going to put the ball down on the ground. He's not going to beat you with his explosion. So, we always talk about, how would Boston be a young team, their first NBA Finals? Okay, Jordan Poole, his first NBA Finals. And to me, Legs, and we feel it sometimes, we see there are times in my career where I've been sped up. I play really too fast. I'm trying to make everything happen. I mean, he was minus 19 last night. He led all players on each team So I think his ability to create shots adds a different dynamic that it didn't feel like they had last night as well for the Golden State Warriors.
Totally agree. I mean, he's had a breakout year. And look, it is. It's a big stage. He's a young player. It's his first time going through something like this. But he did not look comfortable. And he's going to look at the film, and he's not going to recognize himself, and he's going to challenge himself. Now, Boston Celtics defense might have something to say with his game, too.
That's the thing,
but
too.
He has
right.
the ability to have a splash, and that's what they need. They need supplemental offense from him in a big way. It can't just be Steph. Obviously, Klay struggled. He'll be better. But Jordan Poole, to me, because of his ability to handle the basketball, he can create his own offense. He didn't really do anything last night aggressive at all in the game, and that's something he's going to, you know, he's going to lose some sleep over that, and let's see if he can come back and challenge
Vince,
himself.
Vince, you expect the Warriors to bounce back in game two?
I do, and I expect to see Jordan Poole play a lot better as well, like the guy said. And they can put Jordan Poole in some of the situations they put Steph Curry in as far as ball movement, because I think one-on-one play, it plays into the hands of the Boston Celtics. Yes, he can get his in out of transition, but I like to see him get him in movement, get him with a live dribble, then allow him to attack, and I think he'll feel more comfortable.
And you wonder if Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White will shoot 13 of 21 from the three-point line.
Sure, right. I mean, 9 of 12 for three-pointers there. Ridiculous 75% shooting in the fourth quarter. It was crazy. What'd you say?
I said, holy hell, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm sitting there watching it.
You think
you know what this game looks like
based on
the third, but no, sir.
We don't, and we think we know what Tua brings to the table, or do we? Hear what he had to say to his biggest critics. We're talking about that next on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
Okay, can you all do a drum roll for me? I have some really exciting news.
I'm so scared.
You have been selected for the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games.
At Disney World in Orlando!
Yeah! Oh, I made it to Orlando!
I'm
going to kick some butts.
I've been dreaming this my whole life.
Wow, what a week it's going to be. The Special Olympics USA Games get underway with opening ceremonies this Sunday at noon Eastern on ABC. Unbeatable Plays is brought to you by Xfinity. And that brings us to the fourth quarter of Game 1 of the Finals. The Celtics outscored the Warriors by a whopping 40-16 in the final 12 minutes. After trailing by 15 points in the third quarter, the Celtics turnaround, spurred by a 17-0 run. Al Horford, Marcus Smart, Derek White accounted for all of Boston's points during that run. So RC is back with us, and oh, isn't that cute? Just adorable. Look at him in his
you
camp
see the backpack.
Uniform. That is just tremendous. So mini camps get underway this month. But let's look ahead to some storylines you're looking for starting in New Orleans.
Listen, my first is going to be about the New Orleans Saints. We know that they've bolstered the skill positions. Jameis Winston is already back on the field. But now it's going to be up to Coach Pete Carmichael, who's been the offensive coordinator for 14 years. They're worked there 14 years, but this is his first under Dennis Allen, his first at the helm. What is this going to look like without Sean Payton? Sean Payton is synonymous with the turnaround in New Orleans and the offense. He's gone now, so who can they be, and can they win the NFC South? And this Chargers defense has me super excited. I talked to Brandon Staley in the offseason, and he asked a simple question. Why can't you build a defense around a star like Derwin James? So you go out, you get J.C. Jackson, you get Khalil Mack. You know you have a transcendent talent at the offensive position and quarterback on your team in Justin Herbert. So now defensively, can you stop people to beat the Mahomes, to beat the Russell Wilsons, and hopefully challenge the Buffalo Bills to get to the Super Bowl? And in the end, who's going to be my quarterback? Is it Mitchell Trubisky? Is it Kenny Pickett? Can Mason Rudolph make a run? I need a QB. I've had Ben Roethlisberger since 2003 in Pittsburgh, and I am nervous. I am scared, and I need one of these guys to step up, take the rings, and lead the Pittsburgh Steelers back to glory. We gotta get number 7, Hannah.
Are you okay, RC?
I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm emotional, and it's pressure. It's a lot of pressure. I'm emotional.
It's been
my backpack,
a hot minute.
I got my backpack
on. It's been a hot
on.
Minute since your team has needed a quarterback. I know. Pull yourself together, all right? The Miami Dolphins were the first to start mandatory minicamp and also wrapped up yesterday. And Tua Tagovailoa worked with his new wide receiver, Tyreek Hill. Tua also spoke on the criticism he has received on his arm strength or perceived lack thereof this offseason.
Twitter warriors, you know, keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them, you know, they're not out here practicing with us working hard. So I don't know if you guys recorded that last one to Tyreek, but I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
All right. I mean, it's OTAs. Diana Rossini back with us and RC as well. What'd you think of what Tua had to say yesterday, RC?
Listen, I have a quarterback alter ego. I train NFL DBs in the offseason, and my quarterback alter ego, his name is Russell Lamar Newton Mahomes III. Right? That's like a lot of the black quarterbacks just mixed into one, and that's who I am, but I'm also French. Right? And when I'm throwing the footballs to these guys, when there's no pressure, when there's nobody out there, I can actually throw a football pretty well too. So Tua Tagovailoa telling me he threw a money pass to Tyreek Hill in OTAs actually means nothing to me. And I don't think that we look at him being the 5th overall draft pick and say to ourselves, we don't believe he could throw a deep ball. What we haven't seen is him throw the football consistently down the football field under pressure at a successful rate that can allow a team to be explosive offensively. So no one's doubting Tua's arm strength. We aren't treating him like Mac Jones. What we're saying is we want to see it consistently on the field, especially with some of these explosive athletes that they have. You ain't got to be Josh Allen. You ain't got to be Patrick Mahomes. You don't have to be Aaron Rodgers, but you do have to find a way to push the football down the field in Mike McDaniel's new offense. So Tua, he can come out and talk about Twitter warriors. He can talk about keyboard warriors. What he need to think about is the warriors that's going to be chasing him on the field and covering people on the outside and making plays when it really count, and not telling us look at money throws and OTAs, because Russell Lamar can also make money throws with no pressure.
Yeah, no pass rush, exactly. Oh, and once Bill Belichick and company roll into town, that's the proven ground right there. So, Diana, what are people around the league saying about Tua? I mean, this arm strength, not really the issue. What is it perceived that he actually has to prove this season?
Well, first of all, Hannah, I wasted my money on this cup of coffee today, because who needs coffee when you got Ryan Clark on a Friday breaking it all down? And he's completely correct on the arm strength. No one's concerned about the arm strength. This is about getting a rhythm. This is about accuracy. Yep. That's really the part of the game that just needs to get better. Hannah, Miami hasn't had a top 10 offense in 27 years. Ryan Clark was 16. The last time they had a top 10 offense, right? Last year, there was all this talk about trading. Hannah was only like 38. So, Hannah was probably about 7.
My math
okay,
was bad.
Okay, you know what, Diana? Can we move on from the math? I mean, the math. Listen, we're just going to give the math a little break right now, and we'll continue your thoughts.
Break. but Hannah, that being said, look, this is a quarterback who was taken over Justin Herbert. I think we sometimes forget about this, okay? And coming out of Alabama, he could run an offense, and he was able to throw downfield, and now he's turned into a bit of a dink and dunk type of quarterback. Mike McDaniel brought in here to improve that here. They've given him the weapons, and now the pressure is on. And based on what Tua just said there, he is well aware the pressure is on him.
All right, McDaniel's never called plays. RC, quickly, any concerns there?
You know, I don't really necessarily have concerns there. We've seen guys step into this position and do extremely well, and it's about how he sets up during the week, the strategic parts of the game, the schematic parts of the game, and then just getting a feel for his offense. I think he'll be fine.
All right, so between your whatever your new long name is and Diana figuring out everybody's ages retroactively, I think we're good. I think we're done.
Let's go back to basketball.
See you in a sec. We have game two of the Eastern Conference Final coming up, but this is the Western Conference Final. Nathan MacKinnon and the Avalanche facing off against the Oilers. Puck starts in the corner, and Nazem Kadri has Josh Manson on standby. Rips that slap shot for the goal. Look at the velocity on the shot as Colorado takes a two-goal lead. And then 5 minutes left in the game at the Avalanche leading 3-0 on a power play. Mike Smith without a glove and net. And Cale Makar with the puck finding MacKinnon in the left circle. MacKinnon, the first Avalanche player with 10 goals in a single postseason since 2001. Avalanche win easily, 4-0 Colorado, a 2-0 series lead over Edmonton. And as for the East, that is tonight, right here on ESPN and the app as the Rangers lead the Lightning after that stunning 6-2 Game 1 victory over the two-time defending champs. Our coverage begins at 8 from Madison Square Garden. And coming up, a Celtic stunner in the fourth quarter. What happened that changed everything in game one, and what needs to happen for the Warriors to bounce back?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.